Chapter 31, Panama. When I was back at home planning my trip, amongst the first invitations I got was one from Panama. The only things I knew about the place were random facts about the canal. I often like to watch documentaries on Discovery Channel before I fall asleep, so I know a lot about sharks, tall buildings, Hitler, and survival in the wilderness. The Panama Canal documentaries are classics for falling asleep. Miguel had picked me up in the airport. He was on crutches from a knee surgery and had trouble driving his car. He lived in his family's apartment high up in a tall building, and my room had a panoramic view over the city. The air was extremely humid. If I turned off the air conditioning for just 5 minutes, it felt like I couldn't breathe. It was nice to have my own room with a large bed and a shower. My body was seriously overtrained from the intense week in San Francisco, Las Vegas, and California. Every muscle felt sore, and I was warm as if I had a fever. I crossed my fingers, hoping I would recover enough to be able to do some training there before I left. Miguel took me to his gym. Puzzle mats were laying out around the floor, and two big fans in the wall were running at full power to suck out the heavy, humid air from the little room. About 20 or so guys were sitting around on the mat. I had promised to teach a class, though I really didn't feel like it. My body was screaming for rest, but a promise is a promise. Fortunately, the heat and humid air was great for my sore body, and I felt my muscles relax and get warm after a short warm-up. In the Danish winter, warming up takes some serious effort, but in Panama, I just needed to do a few minutes of rotating my wrists and I was all set. Despite feeling better, I decided only to roll a little bit. Martin, a tall, strong black belt in a thick judo gi, gave me a very good technical roll, along with the suggestion of going to visit his friends in Venezuela and Ecuador. I hadn't planned anything for South America other than knowing I wanted to end in Brazil, so I made some mental notes of his suggestions. It was gym number 41 since I left home in late February. I felt a little tired of everything, and it seemed like my adventurous spirit and excitement of visiting all these gyms was a bit lost. I was in a gym in Panama full of nice people and good training. Everyone was eager to talk to me, and they could all potentially be my new best friends. If this was the beginning of the trip, I would be thrilled with excitement. Where had it gone? Had I become so accustomed to walking into strange gyms that there was nothing special about it anymore? I had to pull myself together. Of course, that place was as amazing as everywhere else. I was just heavily overtrained, overtraveled, and in need of rest. I had pushed myself way too hard. Since I decided to travel at high pace after I left New York, I had been running from one place to the next with no stopping. It had all been happening so quickly that there was no time to sit down and consider if it was too much. My brain was overloaded with experiences, and I needed to slow down a little bit so I wouldn't burn out. I zoned back to reality, realizing I'd been sitting by the wall in the gym for 40 minutes and done nothing but stare at the sparring with an empty look in my eyes. I was soaked in sweat and couldn't move. "Man, you look really, really tired." Miguel was poking me and woke me up from my open-eyed sleep. My eyes were saggy, and despite having built up quite a tan over the months, I was pale as the white wall behind me. Training was over long ago, but people were still sitting on the mat and talking. Miguel told me how they put a lot of emphasis on the social aspect of the gym, often resulting in people hanging around for hours after training. It was just like my gym at home. We even had a note on the wall that encouraged people to sit around after training and chat. My knee hurt a little bit after the few rolls. I had been trying to lure people into shooting for low singles from the guard so I could do a one-legged sprawl, BJ Penn style, and go for a guillotine. The tactic was great for tapping people out, but not so good for my knee injury. Back in the apartment, I was going through my emails. Since I wrote on my blog that I had arrived in Panama, I had already gotten invitations to visit 3 more gyms. I was only staying for 3 days and was in serious need of rest, so I knew it would be a challenge to discipline myself and not just visit everyone. I couldn't keep telling myself that I'd just rest the next place I would go. My blog was really reaching far. Every time I wrote something on it, thousands of people within the jiu-jitsu community would read it, and I would get immediate response. It had become a huge machine, almost living a life of its own. I was confident in going anywhere in the world and being able to get help for training and accommodation just by posting on the blog. Just 2 days later, I was going to Medellin in Colombia. My contact there, Carlos, had written me a long email with a packed itinerary for the visit. It looked like I wasn't going to rest there either. It was too much for me at that point. My brain was overflowing with thoughts on planning, buying tickets, training, teaching, and people. "Just 1 month left," I heard myself say as I turned off my iPad and sat on the edge of the bed with my face buried in the palm of my hands. I quickly shook off the thought. How could I think like that? I brushed my teeth, getting ready for a long sleep. Standing by the window, I had a great view over the city from the 9th floor. With the strings of the curtains in my hand, I stood there for a moment and observed where I was. It was beautiful. Dark, menacing thunderclouds roared across the sky. The day before, I was riding a bicycle around Hermosa Beach in sunny Los Angeles. A few days earlier, I was training with UFC stars in Las Vegas, and before that, I stood by the Golden Gate Bridge. Now, I was in my room in a giant apartment in Panama City. I pulled the string and the curtains rolled down. "Good night, Panama. I want to be your friend, but it will have to wait until tomorrow," I thought, and before I knew it, I'd slept for 12 hours straight. In the morning, I pulled the curtains away again, revealing a city bathed in sunlight. Green hills, mountains in the distance, big trees, and old buildings mixed with modern skyscrapers. I felt 100 times better than the night before. Miguel was asking how I'd slept as I stumbled downstairs. I told him I was sorry I was so tired and not up for anything. He just laughed and said that Panama would be the place on the trip where I could just relax. It sounded like a good plan for me, although a handful of training sessions were already lined up for me, so it wouldn't be all rest. Gio, a guy who had emailed me the day before, picked me up to take me to his gym. My body may have felt better, but I'd gotten a new injury, which was probably the most stupid one I could imagine. Cashew nuts were pretty cheap in Panama, so I ate lots of them. During the day, I threw a handful of them into my mouth and accidentally hit myself in the jaw with a palm strike. It hurt. I managed to roll a few rounds with an enormous Brazilian guy whose neon belly position kindly reminded me that I'd eaten way too many bananas before training. On my last day in Panama, we had planned to go to the beach, but I was still very much in need of sleep, and over the 2 o'clock breakfast, we decided it was a bit too late to get there in time. I was bummed to miss out on the beach and surfing, but on the other hand, I had a lot of sleeping to catch up with. Everything else would have to wait.